everybody who's come to the tent, and we trust the Lord will bless you for being here tonight. I just want to read a few verses from the Bible. We'll turn first of all to John chapter 7, Gospel by John in chapter 7. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry. Just listen to what the Word of God has to say. I'll read it as clearly as I can. John chapter 7. And we'll read from verse 43. John chapter 7, verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. Luke chapter 15, please. Luke and chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, just read the first two verses. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Luke chapter 23, please. Luke chapter 23. And verse 10. Luke chapter 23 and verse 10. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverted the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Now down to verse 32. Let's read one of the accounts of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And that will suffice for our reading tonight, and we trust with the Lord's blessing. I just want to lift one statement out of the four readings that we have had together tonight, and it's the theme of the Bible. It is the theme of the gospel message that we want to present to you today, and the simple phrase is, this man. This man. Because this man that we have spoken about and read about today is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Saviour. He is the Son of God. There is none like him. There's none to be compared with him. He is completely unique. And this is the one we want to present to you and tell you all that he has done for you. And because of what he has done for you, if we put our faith and our trust in him, the Bible says we can have everlasting life. We read in our first reading in John chapter 7 that never man spake like this man. No one ever spoke like the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 15 at the beginning, we read that this man receiveth sinners. Then in Luke chapter 23, there was a man, a governor, who said, I find no fault with this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't find a fault with him. And then finally, we read of one of the thieves on the cross. There were three crosses when the Lord Jesus Christ died. The Lord Jesus Christ on the center cross. A thief either side of him. And one of those thieves said, listen, we're here because we deserve to be here. But he looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, but this man has done nothing amiss. Not one thing out of place. I just want to think about those four statements very briefly, very simply, and explain to you this tremendous message of the gospel. It is a wonderful message of good news for each and every one of us. And it's what we're dealing with tonight as far as the Bible is concerned. And this wonderful message is, where are we going to spend eternity? Our life down here is governed by time. I've mentioned that already before. But after this life, I don't know whether you've ever thought about that. Where will you spend eternity after this life? Well, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of his death upon the cross at Calvary, we can each and every one of us know a peace and a comfort and a joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and knowing that whenever our life ends, or the Lord Jesus Christ returns, as he has promised to do, to take all those that have believed on him to be with him in heaven, the Bible says we will be with him. No longer in our sin, no longer separated from God, but we will be with him. And that for all eternity, the Bible says we can have everlasting life. You know, the first statement that we read in John chapter 7, it was this, that someone said of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, while he was here, that never man spake like this man. There was none like him. No one ever spoke like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the words that he spoke, they carried so much weight. He spoke with great authority. He never wasted a word. You know, there are some people that we listen to them, and really, after we've listened to them, we begin to realise that they were just empty promises. And it wasn't worth listening to. There are some people who say so much and have not really said anything at all. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke, he never wasted a word and he never exaggerated. You know, someone said of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were thinking about it the other day, they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ after he had just said three words. And after he had come to the top of the boat, he said, peace be still. And the storm was, there was a great calm. And they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. What kind of a man is this? Well, here we have a statement they said of him, that never man spake like this man. Another verse in the Bible tells us that having heard the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. They were just amazed at what he said. And so we find the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that he was able to still the storm. We find that he was able to heal people just by the spoken word. Such power, such authority the Lord Jesus Christ had. There were times, even when accusations were thrown against him, you know, very, very often if accusations were cast against us, we're very quickly to say something and try and defend ourselves. Well, sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ just spoke a gentle word, a kind word, a loving word. Sometimes he said nothing at all. The gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. You know, but this same person, this man that we are talking about this evening, the one who came into this world and was born at Bethlehem, and this same one who not only was born at Bethlehem, yet came into this world and lived a perfect life, which ultimately led him to the cross. You know, while he was upon that cross and the suffering that he endured upon that cross, we hear his words again. And even though they'd driven nails through his hands and through his feet, and a crown of thorns they'd thrust down upon his head, and a spear into his side, they spat in his face, they whipped his back. The Bible said he was barely recognizable as a man. And the Lord Jesus Christ went through all this pain and suffering for you and for me. And while he was upon that cross, despite all the sufferings that he endured, the Bible says that he said these words. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even despite the pain and suffering that he went through upon the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." He said, while he was upon that cross, because he knew why he was here. From the moment he was laid in that manger, he knew that one day he would be put upon the cross. And he knew the sufferings that would be his. And despite the suffering that he went through and the weight of our sin that he bore in his own body on that cross, he could cry with a loud voice, "It is finished." He finished the work that God had given him to do. What words? Never man spake like this man. You know, another word I wanted to think about before we go on to the next point is this. Not only did he say from the cross, "Father, forgive them," not only did he say, "It is finished," but he also said, "I will come again." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem, who died upon a cross. Many people thought that was the end of him, but they put him into a tomb. On the third day, he rose again, just as he said he would. And he's alive in heaven today, but he's promised to return. "I will come again." He's coming back to take everyone that's a Christian back to be with him in heaven. He's coming back to the clouds. If he was to come now, all the Christians in the tent and everywhere else would suddenly be snatched away and taken to heaven. It's a tremendous thing. It's a tremendous promise, a tremendous hope for the Christian. I wonder, is he coming for you? Do you know that he's coming for you? "I will come again." And the Bible tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Never man spake like this man." But then, we read in Luke chapter 15, this man, this Lord Jesus Christ, this Saviour of the world, this man receiveth sinners. What a tremendous thing. What a wonderful message that we preach. This man receiveth sinners, and he still is today. He still is today. What a tremendous thing. This man receiveth sinners. Maybe we don't like to think of ourselves as sinners, but the Bible tells us we've all done wrong. Every single one of us. From the moment we're born into this world, we're born in sin. We all do things wrong. We all disobey our parents. We all think the things that we shouldn't do. And the world is in the mess it's in because of sin. Go back to the beginning of our Bible, see how Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And sin came into this world. And as a result, the Bible clearly tells us that each and every one of us are sinners. All have sinned, without exception. No get-out clauses. All have sinned. And we've fallen short of God's standard. God's standard is absolute perfection. The only one that is absolutely perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we've fallen short of that standard. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we are all sinners, how wonderful that we read that this man, this Saviour, this Son of God, is the one that receiveth sinners. He receives each and every one of us if we just come to him. If we repent of our sin, turn from our sin, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us upon a cross. While upon that cross, all the sin of the world, my sin and your sin, were heaped upon the very man who had never done a sin. And this man receiveth sinners. He came to die for you and for me. He wasn't there because of what he had done. He didn't deserve to be there. He was there because of you and me. He was there because of your sin and my sin, the sin of the world, past, present, future. And he took the punishment for our sin. This man, the Bible tells us, Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. He came to save you and I. And the Bible tells us that God commends his love toward us. God shows his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful message. A message of good news that Christ died for us. And how wonderful that this person who is unique, who is different, the Saviour of the world, who never did a sin, didn't hide himself away from sinners. No, this man receiveth sinners. He receives each and every one of us if only we will come to him. And we might say, well, you don't know the life I've lived. And you're right. But how wonderful, whoever we are, whatever kind of life we've lived, the Bible says, if we come to him that cometh to me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will in no wise cast out. I will never turn anybody away. Whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, puts their faith and trust in him, he will accept them. But then, another statement in Luke chapter 23. Pilate, the governor, he said, I have examined the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have found no fault with this man. No fault with this man. How wonderful. Never man spake like this man. This man receiveth sinners. I find no fault with this man. Nothing worthy of death was found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by the governor of the day. He examined the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, I find no fault. He couldn't find a single thing wrong that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. He was absolutely perfect. You know, we shine the light on the Lord Jesus Christ and his life. Shine a bright light to show absolutely everything that he said, he did, he thought. And the explanation is, I find no fault with this man. This is God's Son. The Son of God, the Saviour of the world. You know, we dare not shine the light. We certainly dare not shine the light on the speakers tonight. Soon find fault. Soon find fault with each and every one of us if a light was to be shone on upon our life. But shine it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the governor of the day said, I find no fault with this man. Yet this same man, this perfect man, God's Son, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, is the one that we look at today, who hung upon a cross at a place called Calvary for you and for me. And you might say, well, if he's the Son of God, if he's the Saviour of the world, if there was people in the Bible and they examined the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and they could say of him, I find no fault with him, why was he there? Why was he upon a cross? Why did he allow those horrific sufferings upon that cross? The worst way in which anyone could die. The horrific sufferings that were put upon this perfect man. This man. The simple answer is this. Because of his great love for you and for me. He loves us so much. He doesn't want us to be in our sin any longer. He doesn't want us to be separated from God. To head to hell, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and suffered and did the work that God had given him to do so that you and I today have the opportunity. He's not forcing us, but we have the opportunity to come to him, to accept him as our Saviour, to repent and turn from our sin and ask him to forgive us. Believing that he loved us and died for us, was buried and on the third day rose again. The man could say, I find no fault with this man. This perfect man laid down his life willingly. He willingly went to the cross. He wasn't dragged to Calvary. He willingly went to the cross for you and for me. And this perfect man took the punishment for our sin so that we might, if we come to him and believe on him, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Absolutely no doubt. Not maybe, not hopefully, things will be all right in the end. But 100% guarantee, the Bible says, if we put our faith and our trust in him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, you will be saved. Finally, we read in Luke chapter 23, we're right now at Calvary. Three crosses at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ upon that center cross. Thieves either side of him. The suffering that people saw of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have two thieves. One of them, he realizes. We're here because we deserve to be here. He recognized he'd done wrong. We're here because we deserve to be here. But as he looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ on that center cross, he could say, but this man has done nothing amiss. What does he mean? This man hasn't done not one thing out of place. Imagine that. A person who has done not one thing out of place. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ willingly came, left heaven, and came onto this earth and lived a perfect life so that he might willingly go to the cross and lay down his life so that you and I today, in 2026, can simply, just in the seat where you are, put your faith and your trust in him, confessing your sin to him, repenting and turning from your sin, You know, just moments before this thief, just moments before he died, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. Moments before he died. You know, it's a very solemn thing to think about, but not one of us knows when we're going to die. But this man, in the last moments of his life, realized that this was the man. This man has done nothing amiss. He realized he was no ordinary man. He realized he was the Saviour of the world. And he turned from his sin and accepted him as his Saviour. What peace and comfort and joy that man knew. Just in the last moments of his life, he simply came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and knew moments later when he died, he would be with him and have everlasting life, as the Bible promises for each one of us, those that come to him. How wonderful. What a wonderful Saviour we have to tell you about. This man. How wonderful that we can read from the Bible that never man spake like this man. How wonderful that we can find from the Bible, as far as this gospel message is concerned, that this man receiveth sinners. How wonderful that a Pilate in the Bible, the governor, could say, I find no fault with this man. How wonderful that the thief on the cross could look upon him and realize who he was and could trust him just in moments before he died. And he could say, this man has done nothing amiss.